Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all. We're continuing our series based on the book Original Prayer by Lavinia Byrne, thinking about different ways of praying. And today we're thinking about Ignatius and seeking and finding God's will. I don't know about you, but my experience of prayer is that different ways of praying help me at different times in my life and different seasons of my life. And the approach that Ignatius offers us is to read Bible stories in a way where we imagine that we are present in the story, perhaps picking out one of the characters and trying to see and understand the story and experience the story through their eyes. And encouraging us to ask questions to help set the scene, so to engage the whole of our senses. So what can I hear? What can I see? What can I smell? What can I touch? What can I taste as we imagine ourselves into the story? I remember at theological college, my tutor encouraging me to try out Ignatian spirituality, and he gave me some resources to use to try it, but I have to be honest, it never appealed, so I never did. I remember about the same time a friend of mine at college going on a 30-day Ignatian retreat, and he spent most of that time, if not all of that time, fasting, spending hours each day in prayer. And I kind of admired him for doing it, although part of me also thought he was a bit mad for doing it. And to me, it just seemed like a bit too much like hard work. And it would have taken me away from my community of friends for too long. I was a bit worried about missing out, I think. So it didn't appeal to me. And if I'm honest, I think the thought of going off by myself for a month to pray and to be on my own scared me. And so I didn't. And to be honest, even now, I'm not at all sure that Ignatian spirituality is for me. Although, having had to engage with it to prepare for today, I am beginning to wonder whether it's something I can learn from it. So I've been kind of asking myself why it is that my instinct is to avoid this Ignatian approach to Bible study and to prayer. Well, I think part of the answer might be that, certainly my younger self was too impatient, too much of an activist. I just wanted to get prayer done, kind of efficiently. I've realised since that you can't pray efficiently. It doesn't work that way. Can't do relationships efficiently at all, can you? But I kind of just wanted to get on with the day. And I suppose I prioritised socialising with friends and avoiding missing out on what was happening socially above spending time praying. I also prioritised being productive and getting work done and achieving things, trying to prove myself above spending time with God and praying. And if I'm honest, part of me just can't quite be bothered to make the effort. I don't want to put the time in. And I think as I've reflected upon it a bit more this week as I've been preparing, that actually I think there's something deeper going on in me as well. This whole business of trying to imagine ourselves into the story, I think I find hard because I'm worried about not getting it right, not imagining it in the right way, not being historically accurate or being true to the original characters. But it's only as I've been thinking about it this week that it's dawned on me that perhaps I've been missing the point. That perhaps the point isn't so much about getting it right in terms of our imagination, but rather the point is, if I'm understanding it correctly, that in contemplating the stories and the characters of the Bible, by allowing our imaginations to run free in a way that we become much more aware, we become much more aware of our own subconscious, our own inner selves. To allow our thoughts and our feelings, the feelings of our inner life, to bubble to the surface in our imagination is a way that we can meet and get to know our real selves. It's a way that we can allow God to do the transforming and healing work of integrating our fractured selves and enabling us to become sufficiently at ease with ourselves, to be able to engage with God, to be able to receive God's love, and to be able to hear God's still small voice calling us and affirming us, loving us, conversing with us, and guiding us. given that the primary way we receive God's truth and revelation is through the life and teaching of Jesus, then it seems to me that if we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds more and more into God's image, that it makes sense for us to use our imaginations to help discern how God is at work in us and what God would have us do. Lavinia Byrne, in her book Original Prayer, entitles chapter 4, Ignatius of Loyola and Knowing What to Do Next. We often talk about the benefit of hindsight, don't we? If only we'd known, then we'd have acted differently. Well, hindsight will always give us a better perspective. But what if there is a way of knowing what to do next? Isn't that something we'd all like? Knowing the right thing to do each day, particularly in the major decisions of our lives. If so, then I think it's worth our while seeking to learn from Ignatius and to engage with his approach to seeking and finding God's will. If you've read chapter 4 of Original Prayer, you'll know that Ignatius of Loyola was a Spanish nobleman who lived in the 16th century. He enlisted in the army in 1517 and saw action fighting the French. They were outnumbered, and his companions wanted to surrender, but Ignatius persuaded them to fight on, and he ended up getting his leg shattered by a cannonball. And not just his leg, his egotistic dreams of heroism were also shattered at the same time. Initially undeterred, though, he instead made up his mind to seek his fortune in the world. But first, he was confined to bed, convalescing after operations on his leg. And so all he could do was to read. He had been used to reading what he called worldly books of fiction and knight errancy. But the castle at Loyola could only supply religious books. And so it was that he found himself avidly reading about the life of Jesus and the lives of St. Francis and St. Dominic. And as he read, he began to notice something interesting. These books inspired him in a very positive way. His previous reading of fantasy and romance had left him feeling dissatisfied. But with the stories of Jesus, Francis, and Dominic, he found lasting inspiration. And found himself asking, suppose that I should do what St. Francis did, what Dominic did. What Ignatius was learning, whilst incapacitated on his sickbed, proved to be crucially formative in everything he was to become. An inner transformation was happening. Ignatius was being drawn away from egocentric fantasies of heroism and romances, which he realized were a distraction and had been leading him away from God. And now, in reading about the heroism of the saints, he found himself being drawn away from being egocentric and instead being drawn towards God, helping him to learn the will of God for him in every particular of his life. His interior journey of seeking God's will took him through extremes of penance, poverty, service, and years of study. As Ignatius drew closer to God, so others started to draw closer to him. He gathered them together to live in community as the first members of the Society of Jesus, known as the Jesuits. And he developed the spiritual exercises for which he's become famous. A tool for the spiritual life, still used by many today, especially by people who are facing big life choices. But as well as big life choices, the spiritual exercises can be adapted for use in daily life. They can be a way of helping us to pray. By using his imagination, Ignatius was able to enter more deeply into the gospel story, and he invites us to do the same thing. There are four lots of exercises to work through, each with a different purpose and outcome. I'm just going to give a very quick summary of them to whet your appetite now. So firstly, one of the exercises is about preparing for the encounter with God. That preparation which makes knowledge of God's will possible, stripping away all pretenses and acknowledging ourselves as we truly are. Secondly, about following the life of Christ, seeing how attractive that life is to us, and bringing challenge about whether or not we want to give our lives to serving Christ and living for him, whether we want to get involved in the ministry and life of the church, whether we want to work for change and to make the world a better place. And thirdly, being willing to follow Jesus in being a living sacrifice. As Jesus prepared for his passion, suffering and death on the cross, only then was he able to move to resurrection life. Are we willing to follow the same pattern of laying down our lives in order to receive transformation and new life? And so the aims of Ignatian prayer and the spiritual exercises are the liberation of the human spirit, to seek and to find God in all things, discovering our union with God and growing friendship and intimacy between the soul and God. So I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to try and be brave and give this a go this coming week. I wonder whether you might too. So I shall post some Ignatian-style meditation resources on Facebook a bit later so that you can have a look at those and perhaps build them into one of your prayer times this week. But that's it for now. Thank you.